Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Trent Rush.
This is Brandon Marsh, the Los Angeles Angels and 66ers Baseball.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
I'm Torrey Hunter Jr.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
Hey, what is up? It is your boy, Johnny Mags, back at you once again for another edition of the All Angels Podcast. I'm joined, as always, with
Daniel Garcia.
And yeah, we're back for our monthly podcast right now during the offseason. We're doing the whole monthly thing. Dan's doing his thing, doing the interviews and keeping you guys, you know, up to date on your All Angels Podcast. We appreciate you guys listening, tuning in. Whenever we drop something, I know that we got something in the works coming soon for our little Christmas edition, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that later. Let's get into real quick a word from our sponsors. And as a true football fan, you already know just as sure as the season changes that Tom Brady's always going to keep the Patriots in the game every weekend. Our favorite gridiron warriors put their skills to the test, so why aren't you doing the same?
The football season is almost over now. The playoff push has begun. And get into the game with MyBookie.
MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines, the most prop bets than any sports book on the planet.
If you're going to like to make a little money with a lot of money with low risk, try a parlay bet. All you got to do is pick a handful of games each week and get them all right against the spread, and you can win huge.
The best part is that if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your picks.
Just use promo code CHAIR to activate that offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Awesome. So, all right, let's get into it. I mean, I don't want to say that it's been quiet because there has been some things happening in Angel Country, Angel Land. I mean, obviously, we talked about in the last podcast, the whole Joe Maddon thing. And there hasn't, as far as a hot stove for the Angels and acquisitions, it hasn't been anything big yet. I mean, obviously, right, there's rumors, innuendos about the Angels
and things. But
the biggest news, I guess, and I mean, it is big news. It is really big news that the Angels have they're staying in Anaheim at least till 2050, buying the property, Angel Stadium, the property around it, which was appraised at about $395 million, something like that.
It's less what Trout's going to make. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, the deal's not completely official yet, but it's kind of like one of those points to where now they just got to go and you know, cross the T's, dot the I's. But for the most part, you know, it seems like everything's kind of agreed upon. The lease is till 2050, and then they have options throughout after that that can ultimately lead it to 2065. We talked about when it first kind of came up, the Angels possibly moving to Long Beach and all that stuff, and I was never the type of guy that thought that was a serious play. Like, I always kind of felt in the back of my mind it was the Angels just trying to get options, more than anything, options, and just kind of seeing where it goes from there. Really glad they're staying in Anaheim. Really glad that they're able to work this out before it got too crazy, like in the deadline. But, so great news. The Angels have hired for this HKS Architects, which has – they designed the Texas Rangers brand new stadium that's going to open up this year and have designed all the upgrades that the Dodgers are planning to do ahead of the All-Star game this year. So they already have a company in there. They already have a company that does this. That's really cool. And I think we are on Instagram, and I'm trying to find one that there was a question earlier that and I don't have it in front of me.
I have one from Malik. I don't know if it's the same one on our email.
Go ahead, try it.
At allangelspodcast@gmail.com. Malik, he says, how's it going, guys? With the Angels re-upping in Anaheim, what happens next? New stadium, renovations, and what do you think the timetable
is? That was the one. Okay, okay. So I'm out of practice. We haven't done this in a while, so I gotta get back into it. So, but yeah, you go ahead and go first.
Yeah, Malik, you know, the Angels, this is where I was talking with Chris came over to my house yesterday. That's crazy. Yeah, Chris, the same guy that curated.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. He was over here yesterday, and we were talking, because, you know, that was a hot topic yesterday, obviously.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, the news dropped. He came over to we got new if you guys want your Smudge Pots hats, you guys, he came over to show us the new hats for
start your own podcast.
Our cranks, I know, right? There wasn't a podcast in 1886, though. But anyway, we were talking about what happens next, and I told Chris, I said, look, back when the Angels renovated Angel Stadium in 1990, I think it was 96, 97, and opened in 98 when they renovated Angel Stadium into what it is now, they played in the stadium while they were constructing. I said, now with the way media is, social media, all the eyes that are on Angel Stadium constantly, the 3 million plus back then. Angels weren't even close to getting a million people a season.
Right, yeah, that has a lot to do with it, yep.
Now with the Angels, you know, every year 3 million, all eyes on us. You know, Mike Trout, the best player on the planet. I don't see the Angels renovating the stadium in that way. I honestly think what's going to happen if they do anything is a lot of the work will happen in the off season, or they'll build a new stadium on site, on the parking lot, and they'll play at Angel Stadium while that's getting built, just like they did in Texas. But the timetable to me, I don't know if there's a timetable.
Well, from where I read, again, they have hired an architectural firm, so the thoughts are already going on. So from what I read is that whatever they plan to do, because they have not decided whether or not they're going to renovate or build a brand new stadium, they have not decided that part.
Right.
What they have kind of put out there is that 2025, whatever they decide to do, that's when they're going to start doing it. Okay, so if they build a stadium, they're going to start 2025. They're going to renovate. That's probably going to start 2025. So with that being said, I have a feeling at this point they're going to hire that, HKS Architects, to come up with a plan for both options. This is what we think you can do renovation-wise. This is what we think you can do new stadium-wise. This is the price for this. This is the price for that. After that, I think that's going to come down to the Angels and Angels uppers, you know, Moreno, the business side of it. Not, you know, again, this is not going to be a baseball decision. So this is going to be all the business side of the Angels. And they're probably going to figure out what's the best thing to do, not only for the stadium and where they set it up, like in the parking lot. And for Angel fans, it's going to be pretty crappy parking for a couple of years they're building it if they go that way. Yeah. But, you know, but if they do build a new stadium, where's it going to be? How's it going to be? You're building it right next door. And then, again, this is kind of like what the Yankee Stadium did when they built the new Yankee Stadium, is that they built it right next door. And as soon as that was done, they tore down the old one and made that even more parking. So if they do go that way, I believe that's going to be the easiest way. But also, remember, they also said, if you read, I believe, Bill Shakin's article in the LA Times, they're also going to put restaurants. They're also going to put hotels. They're also going to put...
Yeah, it's not just a stadium.
Like a shopping... they said, and I think this... I don't want to say it's a direct quote, but they said something along the lines that it's going to be LA Live on steroids.
Wow.
So if you've ever been down to LA Live, you know, it's going to be something like that. Yeah. I mean, again, because you have the pond right across the street too, and they just extended their lease, I believe, a year or 2 years ago with the city of Anaheim. So they're going to be there for a while. So I hope they build a new stadium, pardon me, but if they just decide to renovate, then that's cool too. But either way you look at it, you know, 2025, I read somewhere that, God, I wish I would have took a screenshot of where I read it at. That's wherever their plan's going to be, that's when it's going to start. So again, that's 5 years away, but considering that the Angels have at least until 2050, and then even longer if, say, they do build a new stadium, that doesn't seem like it's a big deal at all.
And one thing I was talking to Chris about Angel Stadium, as much as we love Angel Stadium, as much as it's a great stadium. It's still a great place to watch a game. The ambiance is perfect. It's one of the easiest stadiums to get in and out of. That can all change if they build a new stadium and all that. But the one thing about Angel Stadium is, you know, every major league ballpark other than Angel Stadium, Dodger Stadium, Wrigley, and Fenway, which are the four oldest stadiums in Major League Baseball. Every stadium doesn't their concourse levels, the field of play is visible. And Angel Stadium, you have those concourse levels where it's there's not tunnels, and it's not.
And, especially in the 100s and in the – well, anything above 100. Yeah. Like the 200 level is the only level that is that you can, you know, wait in line for a beer or nachos and still see the game going on. So, again, if they do renovate or if they do build a new stadium, I think that has to be one of the major priorities is sight lines and – being able to view the game wherever
you're standing.
And a stadium that is great at this that I've been to, and granted, I haven't been to a lot of stadiums, so there could be other stadiums that do it too. Petco Park does Petco's a great, beautiful. Great job at this at a lot of mm-hmm. their levels, and it just feels super open. So
Safeco or T-Mobile Park in Seattle is the same way. Like anywhere you stand, the playing field is visible. You know, you can go get a beer, turn around. Oh, I'm not missing much. And the same thing in San Diego. You turn around, and you're watching the game, so – that's one of the things that Angel Stadium does not provide. Granted, I mean, every seat at Angel Stadium is a great seat, but I'm saying just you get up, you know, it's pretty cool that the stadiums in Major League Baseball are that open where you just see everything. That's amazing.
No, right. Like the stadium seats, I mean, there are some kind of dead spots that are kind of weird, but as far as when you walk around the concourse, that can be definitely a major improvement on what is going on and stuff like that. So, so that's the stadium news. Great news for Angel fans that, you know, I was never, I don't know about yourself, but I was really never worried or concerned about them going to Long Beach. There were so many hurdles that the Angels had to do to set up the idea of a Long Beach stadium that to me was never a possibility. So I'm glad this is over with and they're able to move on now.
It's kind of like the Mike Trout situation where, you know, every year we kept hearing about how, oh, he's not re-signing and now he's signed so we don't have to worry about it. Yeah, but I'm with you. I never in my mind thought they were leaving. A lot of the topic that came up with all this conversation yesterday, I kept hearing or kept seeing on Facebook and on Halo Haven, was the fact that a lot of people were like, can we change our name? Can we take the LA out of our name?
No, that's part of it. That's staying. I mean, already spent so much money on that. There's no way they're going to change it now. And then granted, that was part of the contention between the city and the Angels was the name change. That's kind of why they were kind of on odds.
From the previous mayor,
right. But, you know, you kind of help to think that kind of held over a little bit, but it's going to stay LA. It's marketing. It's money.
Total marketing.
It's total marketing. You go to Iowa and you ask a guy where Anaheim is. He probably has no idea. Yeah. You ask a guy in Iowa where LA is, and he knows exactly where it is.
And with good little point that you made there, guy in Iowa, a store in Iowa. If the Angels don't have LA in their name, the merch doesn't. You don't get as much Angel merch in cities like that.
Well, not only that too is. You go to these companies for sponsorships. Mm-hmm. They don't watch baseball. They don't care about baseball. They care about how many eyes and what will draw those eyes. And LA will draw a lot more eyes, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not, than Anaheim. And that's it's a money move. It's just a money move. But if you want to compete with these bigger teams payroll wise, you have to do stuff like that. I mean, let's not get crazy. I mean, Tampa Bay doesn't play in Tampa Bay. The New York Giants and New York Jets don't play in New York.
I don't know why it's such a big deal.
San Francisco 49ers don't play in San Francisco. I mean, this is not just an Angels thing. This happens all over sports, mm-hmm. and it just seems like everyone forgets that. Like
New England Patriots.
Yeah, that's such a general like Golden State. Like they went from Oakland to San Francisco, but like
it didn't bother me. I think it. And I understand it bothers the people that live in Anaheim because you're in Anaheim, the stadium's in Anaheim, the team plays in Anaheim, and you're getting dicked on the name. I get it. Me, I'm from Riverside, born and raised. I can care less if the Angels move to Irvine or whatever, or they have Pasadena in their name. It doesn't bother me. But the LA thing, it's all money driven. I think there was, and don't quote me on this, but I think when the Angels signed a contract with Fox Sports West, the LA thing had something to do with it. And also national televised games. If the Angels don't have LA in their name, they don't get as much nationally televised games as they do now. So that has a lot to do with it, believe me. Commercial spots, all that stuff that comes with the LA name. And I think it's pretty cool with the LA name because that's what the Angels came in as originally, LA's first original baseball team. So it doesn't bother me any. So that was a topic point that was bothering me.
Like you said, I understand people don't like it, but
I get it.
When it comes down to that, like naming and all that stuff, it comes down to – It comes down to whatchamacallit. It comes down to the money part of it. I mean, no one likes the idea of them playing in Anaheim and named LA. But man, when it comes down to money and you want to compete with some of these teams, I mean, that's what you got to do. Yeah,
all business driven. And that money, got to think about this. That a lot of that money that's coming in probably contributed to the Mike Trout contract. You know, it obviously brought Albert Pujols here, and I know a lot of people. I'm not going to even touch on that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the big contracts that the Angels are able to spend money on comes from the LA thing. And again, I understand completely why you guys would hate it, but to me, it doesn't bother me at all one single bit. So enough with the Angel Stadium stuff. We've talked enough about it. We don't know everything, so we can't. We were only guessing here. But let's talk a little bit about the Angels non-tenders. There was a list of what dropped maybe, 3 days ago, 4 days ago?
Monday was, I think, the final day for non-tender deal. You know, the only person that got non-tendered by the Angels was Kevin Smith, catcher. Which to me was a little bit of a surprise. I kind of didn't think they were going to non-tender anybody, but Kevin Smith, I think that shows more of a what they want to do with that position. Between Stassi and Smith was definitely the better bat, but subpar defense. And then Stassi, again, the opposite. Really good defensive guy, and offensively struggles a lot.
Can't hit water if he fell off a boat.
Right. So I think it kind of shows where the Angels want to do with that position, is that they're going to focus more on the defensive framing, blocking pitches, calling games more so than the offense.
Right.
So I'm interested to see what they're going to do. As of right now, Stassi and Bam Boom are the only guys on the 40-man roster right now for that catching position. So,
which to me, look, guys, I'm okay with the Angels going totally defensive-driven with the catcher spot, because I think the catcher spot offensive-wise, is a thing of the past. You don't have the Ivan Rodriguez's anymore. Except you have your exceptions. We've got Grandal. And probably that's where it stops. Maybe there might be another one, Salvador Perez or somebody like that.
Well, Salvador Perez is maybe back in his prime, but when you're looking for a catcher that can do both, it's very rare.
Thing of the past.
Grandal, again, we're going to touch on the free agency. I mean, we're on Instagram Live right now. A lot of people are asking about the pitching and the free agency. We will get to that. Don't worry. That's going to be like our main event. That'll be at the end. Mm-hmm. So talking about the catching, here's Monty Grandal. So I signed with the White Sox 4 years, $73 million. That's an annual payment of $18.25 million. So I think they overpaid for him. But again, he's rare. He could do both, which is great. But if you're talking about the average catcher on an average team, he's going to do one or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Gary Sanchez in New York. Offensively,
that's the other guy.
Offensively, he kills it. But defensively, he costs them games because he has hard time blocking certain pitches. He has hard time framing. So it kind of depends, I think, on individuals. And I've touched on this on past podcasts. It depends on what you consider important: saving runs or producing runs. Because if you're going to get a regular catcher, it's going to be one or the other. It's not going to be able to be both. And for those that do both, the price tag is so high that you have to really be in a good spot or be like the White Sox and have tons of money to spend.
You're taking a hit on another position because you're spending so much on that. The catching position is so, I think, to me, the most important part is having a guy who can frame, get you a few extra strikes and counts that'll drive the pitch count down. A guy who has a good repertoire with his pitchers is more important, I think. One guy that's pretty good at that, and he was an Angel, was Martin Maldonado. That's a guy that's out there they could possibly get. Yeah. He surprised a lot of us with his bat in the 2 years that he spent here.
Right.
Totally overachieved offensively, but defensively we know what he can do. So, yeah. I mean, that's an option for maybe 1 year, but don't look for anything long term.
Right. I mean, this whatever they do catching-wise is going to be short term. Some of the main catchers that you hear, the Angels and Rhett Bollinger of MLB.com had an article posted in the middle of this week, and I kind of talked to him a little bit about it. But a couple names to kind of look out for free agency wise is Martin Maldonado. He's only 33 years old, would be fairly cheap, is familiar with a lot of these guys already on the Angels because of his previous time here. So you're talking about like Haney, Otani,
He has a really good relationship with Ohtani.
Right. Yeah. So he'd be a great guy to come in for like a 1-2 year deal. Or even since Robin Chirinos, which is kind of the opposite of Maldonado. He's going to be that offensive guy, mm-hmm. but defensively, is he what you want? Now with Stassi kind of already being in the mix as of right now, and again, everything can change in a matter of minutes, but as of right now, he's in the mix. So do you go with that Robinson Chirinos because he is a better bat and you can platoon when necessary or pitch hit when necessary or stuff like that, where if you do get Maldonado and you do have Stassi, now you have two defensive specialists, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them, again, yeah, Maldonado's probably a little bit better of a bat, but he's not that much better of a bat.
No, I mean, again, that year where he had like 14 home runs and like drove 50 runs in, that was an overachieving year because no one had ever thought, or Maldonado had never in his career even closely matched those stats offensively. So Chirinos is a, you said the name and I was like, well.
He's older.
I mean,
he's a little bit older. He's 35. So again, these guys we're talking about are going to be 1-2 year guys and not necessarily anything longer than that. But, you know.
I think the safest bet would be Maldonado just because of what you said, his relationship with the pitchers on the staff, especially a guy in like an Ohtani coming back from Tommy John, didn't throw to anybody last year. The last guy he threw to was Maldonado. They have a really great relationship. You could see it online. Maldonado to me would be a decent fit on a 1-year deal, I think. You know.
Right, and I think that's kind of where the Angels are leaning right now, free agency-wise. Also talking a little bit about free agency, going back a little bit with the non-tender, there's some names that popped up last that got non-tendered that kind of grabbed the attention of myself and I'm sure a couple other people, but a couple pitchers that got non-tendered. Aaron Sanchez got non-tendered by the Houston Astros, starting pitcher. Tyron Walker got non-tendered. I believe the last team he was on was Arizona. And Blake Treinen from the A's also got non-tendered. So out of those kind of three guys, do any of them kind of pop out to you or anything like that?
Aaron Sanchez pops out to me. I think he's a guy that the Angels had looked at before, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, because he just got traded to Houston this past trade deadline and wasn't really able to bounce back
or regain his form.
Yeah, exactly, coming out of Toronto.
He's a guy who gives you innings and is a really solid, gritty kind of guy. Like, he's a little different than your – I don't know. Something about him, I like his grittiness, his demeanor on the mound. I think that's a guy the Angels kind of need, a guy who's durable like that. I think in Toronto, he was a really solid guy. And I think the Angels have a history of wanting to get him. So that kind of makes sense to me. Walker, I think that's a guy you gamble on. That's another gamble to
me. Well, he's just had Tommy John surgery, so I don't believe he's going to be ready until either late this year.
Yeah.
Early next year, so he's going to be there probably until closer spring training, and it's a guy that you can probably pick up, like I said, later and kind of stash him away for something super cheap. But yeah, Blake Treinen is very, very his story is so kind of crazy and so his story is so reliever. And if you follow relievers, mm-hmm. that everyone wants to jump on the train, like they need a reliever, they need to go get this great reliever. Blake Treinen was the best reliever in 2018, had like a sub one ERA the last like 3 months mm-hmm. of the season, if not longer. And then last year, totally blew up.
Yeah.
Totally went from cannot be touched to everyone touched him.
Right.
And so to me, he is he's a weird case because do you take a chance on him and hopefully he can get back to 2018? Where, again, he probably was the dominant closer if it wasn't for, I think, Diaz, who was with Seattle that year, setting all kinds of save records. If not, if he wasn't the best, then Diaz was. But it just shows with relievers and people wanting to pick up relievers that they're so hit or miss. You can have the best reliever 1 year, and the next year he can get this absolutely lit up.
The thing with Treinen is that if you can get him on a cheap deal, you obviously go and get him. But if he's looking for a 3-year $10 million a year contract, and you don't go out and get somebody like that, you know. To answer some questions on Instagram Live, I'm going to answer pretty much a question, and it's going to kind of encapsulate everything these guys are talking on Instagram Live right now. Let's talk about the Angels offseason. Let's look at it as if they're not going to get Cole. Right? I mean, that because you don't know. We can talk about Garrett Cole until so let's, forever.
Let's just but. So we could just put this out there now. It's funny, man, and you social media people out there, I mean, cool, but it's funny because yesterday, I swear to God, yesterday, we're recording this on Thursday, so this would be Wednesday. I don't know who the dude is. I don't know. He has no relationship to the Angels. I don't think he has a relationship to any team. I think he's a reporter for some network or for something, saying, you know, Cole to the Angels is pretty much a done deal. All they're doing is finalizing the small details, blah, blah, blah,
that
whatever.
Sounds like Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers.
Right. So, and then everyone's freaking out like, oh, great. Yeah, this is awesome. And then fast forward now, 24 hours later, Jeff Passan puts out that Gerrit Cole is the top priority of the Yankees, and now everyone again is now jumping ship to the complete opposite end of the spectrum, saying he's gone, Yankees have him, what do we do, we're awful now, blah blah blah. It is so funny to me that they don't realize, most people don't realize what the hell's going on right now. It's called negotiations. You don't think you don't think for a second Gerrit Cole's agent isn't going back and forth saying, hey, report this, I get this, and they put it out there, and guess what? Now the pressure's on the Angels to come up with a big offer. Hey, the Angels deal is pretty much signed, sealed, delivered. Now the Yankees, because now it seems like a two-team race. Now everything else is out. It seems like a two-team race. You don't think that someone in Boris's camp or Boris directly is leaking this kind of information to the media saying, oh, Yankees coming up with a record-breaking deal. Now guess what? Angels. Ball's in your court. Someone reports, hey, the deal's almost done with the Angels. Yankees, it's in your court. I mean, come on. It's like, until something's done, I don't believe anything.
You can't. And here's the deal. Here's another thing. How is Gerrit Cole not everybody's number one priority?
And it's like the dumbest thing. It's like, well, so-and-so says they're in on it. Well, no duh.
Everyone should be in it.
And there was something about
should be.
Strasburg took a meeting with the Angels, too. Good. The Angels are doing their job. The Angels are doing their job.
Guys, don't have a heart attack over the everything is rumoring in you. Everything's rumoring innuendo right now at this point. No one has a correct answer. And if there is, are you going to believe it? Just like you said,
right.
I'm not going to believe anything because Boris is Boris, and he's leaking this stuff out. It's vice versa. Even the Angels might even say, oh, yeah, you know, we're looking to get him, but
right.
Well, it's BS because, you know, they want him.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't make any sense. People are thinking that he's showing up at New York and they're going to be like, oh, you can't leave until. No, what's going to happen is like, oh, is that what you guys want? Okay, cool. We'll call you back. Guess what Boris is going to do? Boop, 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 boop. Call up the Angels or whoever, you know, media member wise, say, hey, you know, I could be your anonymous source, which is a whole nother thing. And hey, man, I got this great deal from the Yankees, blah, blah, blah. Put it out there. Boom. All over Twitter. Angels are freaking out. Yankee fans are freaking out. Now the Angels got to make a better offer. So it's, to me, it's all to do about nothing. When it happens, it happens. And whatever happened to the report that he was going to sign in January, which can still happen. I mean, the winter meetings happen Monday. So again, we're recording this on a Thursday. So the Monday, I think, is going to be the 9th. That's the 9th through the 12th or 11th. Somewhere around there is going to be the winter meetings. And then maybe at that time, yeah, sure. But until then, I mean, come on, like, you guys should know better than to believe what the heck's on the internet. The internet's not always right.
Man.
And if people have sources, great. I can call people too, and I can have sources. Doesn't mean that's right.
Man, S. Kelly, Freddie, that's I don't want to call you out or but that's
no, just call him out.
That's a terrible, terrible idea, bro. Very terrible idea. Look at the age of the guys, all right? Bro, you must I'll leave it at that. Angel Santos said Trey Joe Adele, LOL. He's in response to, that's
so some. I think some of the
ridiculous,
the panic between Angel social media, Angel Twitter, if you will, is because of the recent signings from some of the guys that were potential
available
targets.
Pitching,
but,
yeah,
potential targets again. Zach Wheeler signed for the Phillies, 5 years, $118 million. That's $23.6 million per year. If you listen to this podcast, first of all, thank you. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you've heard me say on past podcasts saying that not every team in Major League Baseball can afford a, let's just put this out there, a $250 to $275 million contract from Strasburg and Cole. Not all teams can. They like to think they can, but reality, they probably can't. A lot of teams can afford a $118 million contract. So I'm not surprised that Zach Wheeler got a little bit overpaid than what I kind of thought he was going to be.
That's
when I saw the first report that he got over $100 million from his contract. I was like, oh, good for him. I would be like, I'll give you, what, $85, $90? Yeah. That's cool. But I wasn't going to go over $100 if I was
GM.
That's
a lot of money.
But good for him. But I just don't think that means the Angels need to go and freak out about everything else, all the other pitchers out there. Good for him. Cole Hamels, lesser of a target, but he signed for a 1 year, $18 million with the Braves. Again, no such thing as a bad 1 year contract, but you know, $18 million does seem kind of steep for Cole Hamels, who is at the back end of his career.
Right.
So, you know, Zach Wheeler, I said there'll be probably more teams in on Zach Wheeler than there are on Strasburg and Cole just because of the price tag.
The price range, yeah. Escal Freddy said you need to go in sometime. Need to go all in sometime. Yeah,
but you got to be smart about it, though.
But they went all in on Josh Hamilton. They went all in on Albert Pujols. They went all in on CJ Wilson. And
It's smart money. You got to be able to use smart money for it. It's not about going all in and seeing who can spend the most money. It's about who can spend the most money wisely.
But, dude, you want to go all in, but then you're trading Joe Adell, who is 21 years old.
Who's going to be your right fielder?
Who, look, I don't want to jinx it because you never know with prospects, but I've seen this guy play live. I've interviewed this guy. Both of us have interviewed him in person. Not only on the field is he exceptional, but he's an exceptional guy off the field. Proved it in Team USA out there in China or Japan where they were playing this year.
I think they're playing. They played a little bit in Mexico and then they went to Japan.
And was by far the best player on the USA team. And that says a lot. And you just don't trade a guy like that for guys who are in their 30s. Pitchers
are so finicky. Like, honestly, this is great. Like, if the Angels get Cole and they say the Angels get Cole for, I don't know. I'm throwing a number out there. Let's just say it's $280 million.
It's going to take a lot.
Let's just say $280 million, which is great. Everyone's going to be super psyched. Mm-hmm. But the first hiccup in his health or first hiccup in production, people are going to start freaking out that the Angels spent too much money. Pitching is so...
It is.
So up and down. It is so... Besides catching, I think it's so hard to judge pitching consistency. Like, if it's going to be there year to year. Like, you just don't know.
Yeah. The thing with SoCal Freddy, thing with Dallas McPherson is Dallas McPherson was never high on Major League. He was high on the Angels prospect list, and the Angels expected a lot from him. But not every Major League baseball team was raving about the guy, and that's the difference between Joe Adell and any other prospect we'd have ever had other than Mike Trout.
Mike Trout, yeah, besides Mike Trout, who has been MLB puts out top 30 mm-hmm. for each team. It's because they have to. It doesn't mean necessarily that these guys are going to be great.
Yeah.
And what kind of there was a trade with some prospects that we got a couple questions about, and we'll get to it. But prospects, you're right, are kind of hit or miss. But when they're super close to the majors like Adell is, this isn't Adell 2 years ago where, you know, he's still 2 years away, 3 years away, and you can go one way or the other. He is right now one of the best prospects in baseball. And if you look at who's also been ranked kind of in that area recently, like talking about Tatis Jr., Vlad Jr.,
yeah.
Some of these guys that are big names, you know, again, Joe Adell, will he be a MVP caliber guy? That we don't know, but can he be a respectable, reliable right fielder, left fielder, or whatever they want to play him? Major League Baseball player? Yeah, and barring injury, because that's kind of the big question on any player, I think he'd be really, really good.
If you can show me proof that he was top five MLB, dude, I'll send you a little prize.
Screenshot it.
But I will say this, Freddie.
And it can't be your own personal rankings either.
No. It has to be something. But I will say this, Freddie. You can't compare McPherson to Joe Adell. The player is completely – the athleticism that Joe Adell possesses is ridiculous. Not every Major League Baseball team – out there would trade in a second for Joe Adell, and that's the difference. You know what I'm saying? There's not every team is going to go in on a prospect just because he's ranked highly, but I think Joe Adell is a different beast. He's a different animal. And honestly,
there's a reason why the Angels have come out before, whether it's been this offseason or I think even last year during the trade deadline, that he's pretty much untouchable. Like, I don't know. There's not a whole lot of prospects in baseball that will be quote unquote untouchable,
and he's one of them.
And you know, he's a straight athlete that's still learning the game, and that's kind of the scary part is that
he can only get better.
He's going to get better. Yeah. He is really.
He's got a good mindset too. That's the thing. We interviewed him. I interviewed him last year, I think 2 years ago, huh? Was the first time we
interviewed him? Well, the first year we interviewed him was 2 years ago, and then last year we interviewed him during his rehab.
And even that, 2 years ago when we interviewed him, young, you can tell that this kid was determined to get better. Like, he was different. And the same can be said for a guy like Brandon Marsh. These guys are different. The mindset's different. So that's what I love about Joe Adell and the prospects that we have in the system right now.
So kind of going with that, we'll come back to the free agency. We'll take some more questions. But going back to the free agent or the prospects, there was a trade going down. There was a trade the Angels had yesterday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Dylan Bundy, 27-year-old right-hander from the Baltimore.
Former first-round pick, I believe.
I think, yeah, he's like the fourth overall or sixth overall.
Yeah.
But he was traded to the Angels for four pitching minor leaguers. Two of which hurt my heart because we had him on the podcast.
Yeah,
and
man.
And Isaac Mattson had been nothing but great with us. So, Isaac, good luck. Shout out. But Dylan Bundy, again, 27-year-old, has 2 years of control, which I think why they had to cost four prospects.
Or, and the age.
And the age, too. Yeah. So, just real quick, Isaac Mattson finished out the year in AAA, had a really great season, going from Inland Empire to Mobile to AAA all in 1 year. Someone that, if you heard this podcast before, especially if we did our, if you went around the round table I did with Talking Halos and Locked On Angels, he was a guy that I could see in the majors at some point this year when depth and stuff like that, you had to call someone up. Kyle Bradish, Angels' 21st prospect by MLB Pipeline, topped out at High A Inland Empire this year. Again, another guy we had on our I interviewed on a podcast. Also, another great kid.
I interviewed him on Media Day, too.
On Media Day, yep.
Great kid. Missed the year before. Sat him out professionally. His first professional year, he sat out. So last year was his first real professional season. And that's why he stayed at High A the whole year, I think. The Angels were trying to – and he succeeded. That's another guy who, you know, you got to give up something. And like you said, I think Bundy being 27 and team control had to do
and
with
the
Angels.
The other two guys was Zach Peake and Kyle Bronovich, which are two guys that had been drafted this year in 2019. So as far as what they can be, it's still way too early to see. So, yeah, you could have traded the next great starter, next great reliever, but you can also have traded a guy that probably will never get past Double A. You just don't know with guys that young.
Right, right.
But, you know, Isaac Mattson, Kyle Bradish. Isaac Mattson probably more so than Bradish.
Kyle's a few years away.
Yeah, Isaac can – you can see him maybe at some point.
So definitely a bullpen guy.
Be a bullpen guy this year, especially if Baltimore's going to be Baltimore like it was last year and rotate guys all the way through. So,
right.
Kind of sucks to see those guys leave personally because of the relationship you build and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I said it before, a lot of these minor leaguers that we are able to talk to, able to interview, you know, a lot of these guys aren't going to break. If they break into the major leagues, a lot of these guys aren't going to do it with the Angels just because, I mean, you can't talk to 15 pitchers and expect all of them at a certain point to be with the Angels. Like, some of them are going to be used as trade pieces like this. Some of them are going to not pan out, you know, you just never know. But as far as the trade, who got the best deal, who got the worst deal, you know, I don't like really doing that because if Bundy comes in and has and again, let's put it this way, Bundy's going to be a 4 or 5. He's not going to be a top line starter. So if he goes 12 and 10, that's going to be a good year.
I'll take that.
So exactly.
I'll take that.
So, and if he gives you any more of that, then yeah, Angels won the trade. Now, if he bombs out and he's not able to make things work, then yeah, and one of those four dudes becomes something big, then yeah, maybe Baltimore got the best end of the deal. But you're not going to know that until some of these dudes get put on the field. So
that's just stuff that happens all the time in Major League Baseball. You know, a team will release a guy. And a team will pick the guy up, and he becomes – look at Tommy La Stella. Who would have thought, you know? That's just a gamble that pays off.
And with Bundy, it could be something as simple as a change of scenery, change of coaches, change of philosophy. But the one thing I did like about Bundy – well, two things. The first thing that kind of popped out to me that I wasn't too sure, that I didn't know until I kind of did more research, was the hard hit rate. His hard hit rate is lower than Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
Like Zach Wheeler's hard hit rate was like 23.6, and then Bundy was like 23.2. So again, a small difference.
Something's good there. Something's.
Yeah. But again, you got to also take in the price tag. It's not going to. I think Bundy's going to be making like $3.5 or $3.6 million this year,
as opposed to $18 million or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Another thing was, you know, he over the last three seasons, he's pitched over 180 innings.
That's,
or not 80, 160. Sorry, my bad. 160 innings, which is
that's
big for the Angels.
Yeah, huge.
Anyone that's followed the Angels in the last handful of years realize that that's kind of been their kryptonite. Pitchers going deep, pitchers going into deep in the games and racking up those innings. I think they only had one pitcher over 100. Over 100. We're talking about a guy that went 160 plus last year.
Yeah.
And the Angels had a guy that had one guy go over 100 last year. So again, if he is the Angels' fifth starter, he wins, or sixth, yeah, whatever, and he wins.
Air quote.
And he wins 11 games. And he goes 163 innings. That is a win for the Angels.
Oh,
I know, yeah. I know Bundy isn't a sexy pick or a sexy name because you look at his ERA and blah, blah, blah. But if he does the average, the complete average, I think it's a win for the Angels, because especially that innings count. If he can get his innings to 160, 165, 170 even, I don't know how you say that's a bad deal for the Angels.
I think a lot of the negativity surrounding it, I think, is just the fact that we've bombed out so bad in the last couple of years, and that's like you said, that's not sexy.
Which is fine.
But
lower
your expectations a bit. But I know, I get it. You don't want to lower your expectations because we need to get better. But at the same time, don't knock it until we know what's going to happen.
Don't knock it till you try it. Right. No, but like even too, like our last podcast, we talked about Madden, and everyone's super psyched. Madden's going to change to do this and do that. Wow. Oh, they got the crap. Who's our pitching coach now? The dude from New York.
Oh, Mickey Callaway.
Mickey Callaway. Everyone's like, oh, Mickey Callaway. He did so good with the Indians and this and that. Well, if this pitching coach is as good as a lot of these guys say he is, then he can at least put this guy on the right track. The reason why these guys bombed out can be, you can put it on the pitching coach last year, you can put it on whatever you want, but the deal is, you got a new coach in there, new pitching coach in there, new philosophy, so we can see what's going to happen there. I mean, you can't sit here and say, well, they bombed out on Harvey and Cahill last year, and then this year be like, well, the same thing's going to happen, when everything's changed. Like, how do you know it's going to bomb out when the manager's changed, the pitching coach has changed, everything has changed.
If the players don't live up to what they're supposed to do, then you can bring in freaking the greatest player on the planet to manage them, and it wouldn't make a difference. But somebody, Gus NCZR said, let's get Jumbo Trumbo back. At first, it's funny that you say that. I saw a report out there saying that he's thinking of just hanging him up already, retiring. Crazy to think that Mark Trumbo is already like 35, 36 years old. Seems like just yesterday he was, but it was a long time ago.
And,
if you think about it,
and he had a really bad last year. You know, with everybody, I don't know, with everyone hitting home runs now, he's not special. Like before, he was special because
you're right,
because he would hit bombs and he had a high home run rate.
Batting now, .220 with 30 home runs,
and now that's everybody.
Yeah,
now you can
that's
find
Albert Pujols.
Now you can find a 29 year old guy that got released that can do that for you,
and
cost you maybe like $2 million, $3 million. I mean, so. What he was good at, what he was really, really good at, isn't necessarily a hot commodity right now, if you will.
Yeah. Let's get into some commercials real quick, and we'll come back and answer some more questions on Instagram Live, and then we'll finish the questions that we have on our
email.
So all right. Hang tight. We'll come back on the other side of the break.
Hey, what's up? Johnny Catfish here, ambassador for Groom Goon Beard and Body Care. Are you tired of your beard feeling rough and not so fresh? Do yourself a favor and do what I did and check out www.groomgoon.com. Groom Goon carries a variety of beard oils and beard and body soaps that will leave your beard feeling soft and smelling great all day long. Don't just take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. Again, that's www.groomgoon.com. And at checkout, use discount code CATFISHTHEGOON, all one word, CATFISHTHEGOON, and receive 15% off your purchase. Why choose Groom Goon? Well, because your beard deserves it.
This is Hook Vicious. Listen to my show, The Punk Corner, on KJ Epic Radio, every Thursday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
And we are back. So, again, thank you to our sponsors who help sponsor this show. MyBookie, obviously, and then GroomGoon.com, and then Epic Radio. Let's go on some of the questions we have on Instagram Live, Dan.
So one from Adrian. There's a lot of A's. I can't tell. He said, do you think we will sign a top-tier starter like Cole, or we'll have to go look into the trade option? I think it cut him out on option. But I think Cole.
He's got to be number one.
You got to do Cole. And if they do go to the trade, I don't think, and kind of piggybacking off of that, another guy asked us on here, do you go Marsh and another for Thor or not? And I say not on the Thor for Marsh, just because he's going to be an outfielder with the Angels. You're trading 7 years of a really productive, probably multi-all-star outfielder for Thor's back end of his career.
Yeah.
And plus, I don't think it's going to be a one-for-one deal. Even if you do that, you're probably going to throw in more, and then that can be – everything can be kind of tricky that way.
For sure. I agree 100 on that.
But as far as the original one, the trade option, something that I heard today that I did not think about, but I think would be a really good idea if the Cole thing doesn't work out. Chris Archer is on the Pirates. And he had kind of a down year, so he might be at a buy low kind of situation. And if you can get him to anywhere near what he was in Tampa Bay, that's going to be a really good pitcher. Really good pitcher. And Pittsburgh has not had the best reputation for – like they've had good – they've been doing good as far as drafting and seeing talent. They just have not done a good job about manifesting it and bringing it out of guys. Because you look at guys that they had, including Gerrit Cole, he took a whole nother level – once he got to Houston, you look at the guys that they traded to Tampa Bay for Archer. I think Musgrove, I forgot how you say his name, but he, again, was with the Pirates and didn't do a whole lot. And all of a sudden he gets to Tampa Bay and he blows up and has a wonderful year. So I kind of think Pittsburgh does a great job as finding the talent, not so great at
developing
the talent. So if you can get Archer and kind of get him, again, maybe a fresh start, maybe back into the AL, I don't know, but I do think he's a good candidate for a trade. He has low, kind of maybe has a low market and can get him for something cheap, which again, there's no such thing as a bad trade as long as it's not the right price.
And I remember another thing you guys have to think about, like we can't just go and trade for the best pitcher on every team. It's just not going to work that way. So you got to
have enough prospects for that.
Yeah, you got to kind of look at it as, well, what can we get in return for what we're giving? And Archer, I think, would be great. I mean, obviously, you're not going to trade Joe Adell for Chris Archer or Brandon Marsh for Archer, but you got to be realistic when it comes to what we have to trade and what we can get in return. And at the same time, we're not just going to go out and sign every. We're not going to get Strasburg and Cole. Let's say that right now. I'm going to say it right now. You're not getting both. So you got to get one or the other, and then you always got to look at it as if we're not going to get either. And you got to make moves that way, too. No, Keuchel.
Yeah. Keuchel, I'm not worried about Keuchel. Rather have Cole and Tryon or Strasburg and Keuchel. I'd rather, again, Cole. anything you have Cole. Or,
yeah.
It could be Cole by himself or Strasburg and Keuchel. I think Cole will be the answer. Strasburg, more of an injury history, more of an injury concern.
Yeah.
And I'll give him credit. He absolutely balled out in that World Series and leading up to the World Series. He had a great 2 months, 3 months period with the Nationals, and he's gonna get paid for that, which is great. Like I'm never gonna sit here and say the dude doesn't deserve his money, but if you want me to look at kind of the bigger picture, Cole's younger, less injury history.
Mm-hmm.
I just think
AL West.
Yeah, he's already kind of familiar with the guys that he's gonna be playing against. Mm-hmm. I just feel Cole is a better option than Strasburg, even if you want to throw Keuchel onto it or not, because. I still it's funny how all these guys are getting all this attention and Keuchel's still kind of, I think, waiting by his phone trying to figure out when he's going to get a call.
Ryu's a little older. I don't think you go and you spend Cole caliber money on him. If you don't get Cole, obviously he is a good guy to pick up if you don't go that route and you can't get Cole. But you don't go out and break bank on a guy like Ryu or Bumgarner.
Yeah, well, the only thing that worries me, I guess, about Ryu is that he's had one good year. Granted, it was the most recent year, but he's had one really standout year. Like, he had one Cy Young caliber year in his whole career, but that's what you're going to pay him for, is that Cy Young caliber year. But can he do that over, you know, 3-4 years? I'm not personally sold on that. Granted, I haven't seen him pitch a lot in person, but he had a great year, taking nothing from it, but can he repeat it? I'm not sold that he can.
Yeah, and are you going to repeat this? Are you going to repeat that season on a different team, whole different staff, whole different atmosphere?
Right.
And Bumgarner, too, I think if he's available.
Price-wise. It depends on what price.
Good money, then yeah, you go get him, but you're not.
He's not.
Going to break bank on the guy.
He's not Bumgarner from the playoffs. And honestly, he's only 30 years old, which is kind of crazy because I kind of felt he was I kind of thought he was older. But he's 30 years old. But, I mean, you look around. 30-year-olds aren't all built the same. Like, I feel like he's 30 going on 38.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
there's some crazy high leverage
innings that arm.
In that arm. And it kind of started poking up this year. I do not feel comfortable with Bumgarner being a guy that the Angels invest a lot of money into. So, like I said, he feels like a 30 going on 39 when you have Gerrit Cole pretty much around the same age, you know, 30 going on 30.
Right.
Like, you know, so I just feel it's something different.
Kyle,
it's something.
Kyle Strange on Instagram said all this over argument over price. If we're going to get good pitching, we're going to overspend. Pay, period. Yeah. You overspent.
You said
on the,
good pitching, but
you overspent on the right person.
He
like,
said
you're gonna.
He said get you gonna pay for good pitching. I don't think these guys are good pitching. That's why I'm reluctant to pay that much money.
If you're gonna pay money, go ahead and pay Cole. I'm not denying that. You give him what he wants. If you're able to give it to him, you give Cole what he wants. Obviously, you're gonna go get Gerrit Cole.
He's a good
but
pitcher.
I'm not gonna. You're gonna be okay with the Angels giving Madison Bumgarner close to $20 million per year? That makes no sense. Why would you do that? You know what I'm saying? That's just an example. I'm not saying that you said that.
Master Fizzle, real quick, he'd rather get paid. Okay, moving on.
You think Cole would rather go for money? Yeah. I would.
Yeah. Like, move me wherever.
I'd be like, oh, I can play in North Dakota or stay in Riverside for $20 million.
So,
nah, I'll go
to North Dakota. So, okay, this is another thing that's popping up. I see all over Twitter and all over Instagram right now. Mad Bum and Ryu is better than anything we have right now.
Of course.
No, duh. But that doesn't change the fact of who they are. If they are a three-type pitcher or two-type pitcher right now, just because they come to the Angels and all of a sudden are the number one, that doesn't make them better. Like, that's to me, I cannot.
Well, that's been the argument for, like,
I know. So just because player X comes to the Angels and all of a sudden he becomes the best player, that doesn't make him better.
It doesn't make him an ace just because he's an ace on the Angel staff.
Right.
That,
to me, is beyond. Again, it's a dumb argument. Like, oh, well, he's better than what we have. Great, but that doesn't make him better than what he is. He still is what he is.
He's still good.
If he's a B-plus pitcher, just because he's on a team that he's the best in doesn't make him an A-plus pitcher. Like, he's still what he is. So if he's best on this team, great, good. But that doesn't mean you should be paying him like he is an A-plus pitcher when he's
just
like a B.
Just to say, the argument to me feels like pay him because he's, like you said, it's better than anything we have, so he's gonna be good for us. Well, okay, yeah, I understand that, but I don't want to open this can of worms here.
Open it.
So, like, you know,
it's open.
When the Angels signed Albert Pujols, they signed him for the name. They signed him because, you know, it's Albert Pujols. He just came off a World Series, and they gave him a bunch of money. 30 years old. Here's all this money. And I'm not saying that the Angels are going to give somebody a $250 million contract or whatever Albert Pujols got or whatever. But guy like a Madison Bumgarner who has a name, who's won a World Series, you just don't pay him. I feel like teams will pay him for his name.
You shouldn't.
Doesn't mean the Angels should.
You shouldn't. Again,
it's not making
a lot
you
of these
better.
A lot of these GMs now, I mean, you go back to like 6-7 years ago, these GMs in that position were guys that played the game and can kind of play emotional – pulling your heartstrings. This is the guy that did this. And like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, let's sign him. Nowadays, GMs are more analytical. Whether you hate it or love it, that doesn't matter. They are in that position. They're more analytical and they more look at, okay, cool. You did that 2 years ago. Good for you. What are you going to do for me for the next 2 years? They don't care about your resume. They don't. They want to see what you can do for potential. And if you're telling me that Bumgarner can be an ace stopper, top of any kind of rotation kind of pitcher, then yes, pay him. But if you see that in him after last year,
and
what he's and the mileage he has, I mean, I don't know where you see it. I just don't like. I don't understand the idea of still to this day paying for what people have done instead of paying for what they can do.
Right.
It's like that one guy at work who's super lazy, but like 5 years ago, he was the best employee and he makes twice as money as you do and you work twice as hard. It's like, how does that make sense? Like, okay, yeah. Good. Like, I could be on the outside. I could be totally random, but that's what I feel.
I agree 100%. Like, you just don't go get him because he's their only option. Like, if that was the case, then, you know. It just doesn't make sense. I don't understand how people kind of just get all caught up in that whole situation. Here's a question from allangelspodcast@gmail.com. It's from Rob Lassies, and he says, your guys' thoughts on Zach Cozart. I read somewhere that the Angels want to give him a lot of bats this spring training. I think I've touched on it before. What are your thoughts on it, Daniel?
Yeah, I think they have to give him a lot of at-bats for spring training because they got to figure out what they have. Like,
yeah.
Zach Cozart, when he originally got signed, I was kind of torn on it. Like,
it seemed like quite a bit of money.
It was a lot of money for, again, a guy that had one good year, nothing really before, but had one good year, and you're going to kind of overpay for it.
And that's exactly what happened, what we're just talking about right now. They paid for that year.
Even though there wasn't, and they're hoping that he can repeat it.
He's been on the field for like 15 games.
And granted, I will give him credit, and people hate giving players credit, but I'll give him credit. As far as we don't know what he could have been because he's, like you said, he's been injured this whole time.
Right.
With that in mind, you have to give him a lot of at-bats this spring training just so you can figure out what you have because you don't know what you have. And if he can even stay healthy, if he has a good spring training because you give him a lot of at-bats, then yes, you start him on the opening day roster. You give him that. Now, if he comes out in spring training and bombs or gets hurt or is constantly hurt for that month, then yeah, now it's time to move on. But you need to get him out there to see what you have. And if nothing happens and he just is average to below average, then yeah, then maybe it's time to move on. But you just don't know what you have because unfortunately he's never had a chance to prove it. I mean, dude dies for a ball, which everyone it's funny. Everyone's like, oh, you should have died for that ball, or oh, you should have, you know, given up your body for that ball. Dude literally did that, and now everyone wants to get rid of him.
Twice.
So it's like, die for the ball, but if you get hurt, you're out of here. So you wonder why people don't go all out all the time. So
Danny, 100%, he said they paid that money to Gary Matthews Jr. for one good. That was a terrible contract. Oof. Oh, my God.
Talk about
– They paid him for that catch.
I think – yeah, well, one catch, yeah. Talk about – And if you've listened to the podcast for the last couple of years, we've had like all, and we haven't done it in a while, but like all Angels from, you know, the 2000s or whatever. And I think that was the idea we were throwing around for a little bit was like, who's the all Angels contract at each position? And I think me, you, and Chris all at the same time, Gary Matthews Jr. and center field were like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a terrible deal. I think by the end of his contract, I think he was just off the bench, fourth outfielder. It was terrible, man.
It was like, oh, God. And to me, people have, like, they get traumatized by like, oh, our pitching's horrible. Look at this, look at that. I get traumatized by like, no. Don't overpay him. Don't let him be Gary Matthews Jr. Dude. I'm like, okay, So it's like everyone's traumatized by different people in different ways. So it's kind of funny to reminisce.
Josh Hamilton and, oh, God, you know, the Pujols deal. We don't even want to get into that.
Do we have any more emails before we go a little bit more?
We kind of touched on everything on the
email. Okay, let's see this one then. Who plays second base majority of the time in 2020?
I say David Fletcher. I think he earned it. Tommy La Stella at third base.
Yeah. I think it's gonna go. I'm not again.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, Cozart. I'm not sold on it. He's gonna have to prove something to me.
Yeah, he has to.
But I would say it's gonna either be Fletcher or La Stella, whatever they feel. Because Fletcher played a really good third base. He's not the power you expect at third base, but I mean. Defensively, he played really good third base. So if they feel more comfortable him putting him there, and the lesser defensive guy at second, that being La Stella, then that's cool too. Yeah. But I think you're going to see either La Stella or Fletcher at that second base position. I would say La Stella just because Fletcher is a better fielder, and they might want to put him at third base. Mm-hmm. But either one, I think you'll see at second base more so than anyone else, and then kind of Renhefel maybe being that off the guy off the bench. Opinion on John Gray, pitcher from the Colorado Rockies.
Oh yeah.
Good. Again, I'll say this until I'm blue in the face. There's no such thing as a bad trade, depending on what the trade is. Like, if you can get him for, you know, even if it's a guy in the top 30 Angels prospect, but the bottom end, like bottom 20, and maybe like kind of like we saw with the Dylan Bundy deal, like four minor leaguers, only one of them in the top 30, then okay, cool. Like, I have no problem with that.
You make that deal.
Yeah. Right. But if you're saying like, oh, we're going to have to give up Marsh or Jemai or Adams, like then no, then that's not going to, that's a deal breaker. But if you can get him for a 20 through 30 prospect plus some kind of long shots, then I'm good with that. Yeah, no problem. But it'll just be some of those things that you'll have to kind of see what is the negotiating going back and forth. Is Ohtani going to be ready to go day one? From everything I understand,
sure seems like it.
From everything that I've talked to, everyone I talked to, yes, that's the plan. Mm-hmm. Day one, full go. You know, obviously he's going to be at a pitch count throughout the year.
Yeah.
And that's kind of normal for Tommy John. But I believe coming into day one, he'll be ready opening day. Now, does he get the opening day start? If it's Cole, no.
Yeah.
If it's not Cole and they get someone else, then who knows?
But to be in all honest, that's just the open. Doesn't mean that just because you don't get the opening day start doesn't mean you're not the ace. You know what I mean? So, or... you know, you're not that important, but it means something to the guys, I guess. I think that's it, dude. You know, we answered pretty much everything.
Yeah, we're running low on time on our Instagram live.
Yeah.
We have a counter going on, so we're going to bounce from that. Thank you all you guys out there. We'll post more
about when we are going to be back on. But again, we were on Instagram live, Halo_Haven, if you want to get involved when we do these. But we're going to say goodbye to those guys now. Thank you very much. Bam.
And on here.
Yeah, there you go. So again,
download people who downloaded it now.
Yeah, exactly. It's exclusive, even though we have nothing to share with you exclusively because we said it all. But hey, we appreciate you more than those Instagram follows. I'll tell you that much.
No, but you guys,
you're the real MVP.
Keep sending in your emails at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. And like Dan said, on Instagram and Facebook, we're Halo_Haven. Dan keeps throwing out these interview podcasts, which is great. Keeps the podcast going.
I'll give you an exclusive right now because we're off of Instagram Live. Look around Christmas time. I'm not looking. I don't have a calendar around me, but I'm going to think it's going to be that weekend before. So we're talking about like the 21st, 22nd. Mm-hmm. I was able to talk to Mr. Christmas. And if you follow the Angels, you know exactly who I'm talking about. That is the one Mark Ubza.
Friend of the show.
Buddy the Elf. He was the bunny this last halfway to Christmas for in the booth with Victor. So I was able to sit down, talk with him, and we talked a little bit about the Angels and because he was there at the Joe Maddon press conference. And so I was interested to kind of see what his take on it was and ask him some baseball questions. So pretty much it breaks down like 10 minutes of Angels baseball, 20 minutes of Christmas.
Hey,
and it's going to be our Christmas special. Like,
awesome.
Christmas special. And he's a cool dude. And you can tell about how he talks about not only his Christmas now with his family, but what he remembers and what he holds dear to him growing up and how much this holiday means to him. So it's just something really cool idea I had. And I was more than willing to just sit down and talk with Gooby for a while. And I personally think it turned out really great.
Awesome.
But it's something for me. I enjoy Christmas, getting around family. And something like this is really cool to put out there. So look forward that weekend before Christmas. So I think it's probably gonna be like on a Saturday or something.
Sounds good. I can't wait to hear it. But again, guys, continue to download the show, give us a rating, follow us on all the platforms that you listen to your podcasts on. We're on there.
Tell a buddy, text a buddy, share with a buddy, help us spread this out. Off seasons are, you know, kind of hit or miss because people aren't really interested in it, but
if something pops off, we're here.
If you can tell a buddy to, hey, just give us a download and give us a chance to kind of win them over, that'd be great.
Give us a listen.
And honestly, we're still working for the season. So if you have ideas or suggestions, again, allangelspodcast@gmail.com or our Instagram and Twitter feed, Halo_Haven, is the absolute best way to get your voice heard. And if it's something that we can work on, we'll definitely take that into consideration and work on it coming into the 2020 season.
Awesome. All right, guys. So for Dan, man, and Chris, we want to wish you guys wish you guys a very Merry Christmas. I know Dan's going to drop the other podcast, but on my end, I want to say Merry Christmas to you guys. Happy New Year. Let's hope that something happens soon. We get a good Christmas present.
Back, and then we'll say Merry Christmas then.
Again. So, yeah. But anyway, if I don't, you'll have a great one. I'm Johnny Mags.
I'm Dan Garcia.
And you listen to another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.